Cue music, please. Laura.
Morning.
What's going on in your world, lady?
What is going on? Well, I gotta tell you, after yesterday's On the Blog segment, I was left with a couple of thoughts, and I went home and I shared them with my family at the dinner table. And what it had to do with was this business of, what is the opposite of a zero-sum game? You guys
well,
remember
the opposite of a zero-sum game is a
wait. Oh. Hold that thought.
Oh, okay.
I just want to let readers, listeners back in. Mike got going yesterday on blogging in the blog segment and how it's not a zero-sum game. Just to set the scene, we'll just play this tape about that.
What's the opposite of a zero-sum game? You know, mostly with blogs.
A one-sum game. No.
Well,
someone wins.
The point is that you put on a new...
You know, I'm still not convinced. I think actually what I did was I defined a zero-sum game. Someone wins.
Well, it's a game...
And someone wins at someone else's expense.
See?
It's a game in which a win for one player results in an equal or opposite loss for the other players. So nothing is created, as opposed to the stock market, where some stocks go down, but in generally, the stocks go up. Yeah.
The opposite is when everyone wins, or it's possible that two
players Or it could
win.
Be that there's, you know, loss. It could be that more people
sure.
lose than win.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we're clearly...
All right. We're not good at this. What we have to do is outsource it.
Yes, yeah, so we're outsourcing this. And I'm going to tell you right now that NPR employees are not allowed to win this listener challenge.
No chance of that.
No, forget it. Anyway, what we want people to do is define the opposite of a zero-sum game.
Okay.
Short. Better than I did.
All right.
What else you got going?
I just put together a slideshow that's pretty serious about families starting over in China after the earthquake. I mean, I say starting over. I think they're still very much in sort of that limbo period. But I just went to look for the latest pictures coming out of China this morning. And I saw a lot of images of people carrying their kids on their backs. You know, I always wonder in other cultures, how do you move kids around? In the United States, we use lots of strollers, car seats, Bjorns, but lots of people just walking down these mountain roads with kids on their backs, mothers stopping by the side of the road to nurse their kids, you know, people feeding their kids under tents, and I just sort of put it together. I'm a parent. Mike, you're a parent.
I am.
You ever think about that? What would you do?
You know, you try not to think about it, actually, but it brings it home.
But, you know, how would you get out of New York? I mean, walk, bike, you know?
Papoose.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, that's the question. So it's about that. Rachel, I could use a little help from you, actually. Mark Garrison posted this thing, he's our newscaster, about sleep schedule and how you manage your sleep schedule here at a place like the BPP where you work crazy morning hours. And he said he uses the Martin method.
The Martin method. It's my pathetic attempt to have a life and have a job at the same time. Which
I've
means...
seen your life and I can confirm that.
So the Martin method apparently is you go home every day and you take a nap.
It's all about the power nap, people. It is all about the power nap.
Passion
I sleep
nap.
For like an hour and a half, and then I try to have dinner. I try to keep my meals on a normal person schedule so that I can actually meet people and engage socially with people other than all y'all.
Yeah.
Just turned her back on us.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What I like to do is use that drug they give to Air Force pilots where you never have to sleep.
The go-no-go combo?
I can't get my hands on that drug.
Yeah.
Oh, that drug.
I start at 6. Yeah, I start later than you guys. So I go to sleep at 9 or 9:30. But anyway, it's an open thread. It's about what do you do when you have crazy, weird hours. And Pesca, I need some help from you.
Yes.
I got myself all twisted up in knots yesterday trying to blog an unassisted triple play by Cleveland Indians second baseman Asdrubal Cabrera. Finally ended up with kids in the Little League. But you actually went and found the announcer who said before the ball ever hit Cabrera's glove, triple play. It's this guy, Rick Manning. He's a radio guy. And you wanted to give him something.
Well, yes. There have only been 14 unassisted triple plays in Major League history. And if you watch the footage of the Cleveland Indians radio announcing team, as soon as the ball is hit, the announcer was on it. He knew it. So that's why we're naming Rick Manning our BPP Poulon Weed Eater Announcer of the Day. All BPP Poulon Weed Eater Announcer of the Days receives a Poulon Pro Edge Trimmer Attachment.
Thank Trimmers you. Sold separately.
Trimmers are sold separately.
Laura Conway, blog editor, thank you for being here. As always, you can find us at npr.org/Bryant Park. And, of course, our Twitter feed, twitter.com/BPP. And that does it for this hour of the BPP. I'm Rachel Martin.
And I'm Mike Pesca. It's the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.